Well, you can go to Romans chapter 8. We're going to go to one verse in particular tonight. It's a verse that has been on my heart for a few days. And I'm going to read it to you right now. Romans 8, verse 28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." This is one of the most beloved verses in all of the scriptures. Because many of us have turned to this verse in times of trial, in moments of loss, and in seasons of confusion. And yet, though it is often quoted, it's not always fully understood. So we're going to break this verse down a little bit into chunks and see what each part has in terms of the significance of it. So I want to name off these parts, and I'm called them the assurance, the scope, the process, the condition, and the calling. So the first part is the assurance, and we know. Paul begins this verse not with a guess, not with a suggestion, but with certainty. And he says, "And we know." As born-again ones, we do not walk by something called speculation. We do not cling to the flimsy ropes of human opinion. We walk by faith, grounded in the truth of God's word. Just notice something else. This verse does not say, "and we think," or "and we hope," or "and we imagine." It simply says, "and we know," which is confidence rooted in the promises of God. So, you know, when trials come, we got to do our best to stand on what we know rather than what we feel, because feelings change, circumstances shift, but the truth of the word remains the same. Okay, next part, the scope. That part that says all things. Now, the phrase all things, how many things does that entail? Well, not just some things, not just most things, not just the good things, but all things. This includes both the joys and the sorrows, the victories and the failures, the blessings and the burdens. Now think of Joseph when he was betrayed by his brothers, sold into slavery, falsely accused, and that incredible story. It seemed like his life was falling apart, yet years later, he could say in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, "But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good." See, even betrayal and injustice were part of the story of God's plan for his life. You know, think of a tapestry. Kind of an interesting analogy here. If you look at the back side, it looks messy. You know, the threads are tangled, the colors are confusing, and nothing makes sense. But if you turn it over, you see a beautiful design. That's how life feels to us sometimes. We see the backside of the tapestry. We see the confusion, the pain, the unanswered questions. And you could say it with me, but God sees the finished picture, and he promises that all things, even the messy, painful things, are being woven together for good. So when we're going through trials or tribulations, what do? Well, shouldn't be saying things like, "Oh, this is wasted." Should be saying something like, "This is just a part. all the things that work together for good, and God will use it. Next part, the process. The part where it says work together for good. You know, Paul does not say that all things are good, right? Sickness is not good, betrayal is not good, death is not good, sin is not good, but he does say that all things work together for good. Now think of baking a cake. If you taste raw flour, it ain't good. If you taste raw eggs, it ain't good. If you eat salt by itself, it ain't good. But when all of those ingredients are mixed together and placed in the oven, they become something delicious. In the same way, you know, the bitter and the sweet, the painful and the joyful, all come together in God's hands to produce something spectacular. So even when we can't see how our situation will all come together, we must trust the divine chef who knows the recipe. Okay, the next part, what I'm calling the condition. To them that love God. Now, here is where this particular verse narrows. Now, this promise is not meant for everyone, right? It simply states to them that love God. You know, Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Love is not just an emotion. It's a commitment of obedience and devotion. And you know what? God does not ask for perfect performance. But he does ask for genuine love. So if you love God, you can claim this promise. If not, and a lot of folks are still not there yet, well, promise doesn't really apply. It's still conditional till you get to that place of loving God completely. Okay, finally, the calling. To them who are the called according to his purpose. You know, Paul says this promise is for those who are called according to his purpose. And God has a purpose for every believer. He doesn't call us aimlessly. He calls us with intention. Ephesians 1:11 says that God worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Our lives are not random. Our struggles are not meaningless. And our calling is part of a divine plan, right? Moses was called at the burning bush. And at that time and place, he felt unworthy. He asked, who am I? But God's purpose was greater than that moment in his life. In the same way, we are called with purpose. To glorify God, to become more like Christ, and to fulfill the role that he has placed within each and every one of us. Okay? So trust in hardship. When trials come, just tell yourself that God is working. Testify in victory. You know, share with others how God has turned trials into triumphs. And I would say most importantly, walk in obedience. So let's just go ahead and read this verse one last time, all together, Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Heavenly Father, thank you for being so kind and good to us, and thank you for all these simple yet profound reminders of what we should be doing in our walk with you, Father God. We just say thank you for being a wonderful Father. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.